First Thessalonians chapter number 1. And I want to just share with you one verse. And one verse here, verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. And if I could say anything to encourage you, I would like to try to encourage you tonight to be a witness for Christ. I know that when you think of missionaries, you think of missionaries spend full-time witnessing for Christ. But we need to be encouraged as well as missionaries to we continue to do what's right, that we not get weary in well-doing. And there's some things that the Bible teaches us about that. It teaches us that we should consider Christ. And there's a lot to consider Christ about. And so it's good for you and good for me to reflect upon Christ and to think about the sufferings that he went through. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, talks about that we are to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we are to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners to himself. And so there's a lot of hostility that was towards Christ. That word contradiction there means hostility. And he had a lot of hostilities towards him because of who he was. Jesus himself said, hey, they would not have known sin had it not been for me. And because of the righteousness of God among men, it convicted men of their sin. It revealed who they were. He said, there's no cloak for your sin anymore. And so those things will refresh what we already know. You know, they refresh us in Christ Jesus. And we need that often. We need to be refreshed in Christ and know that what he went through for our gain and for the purpose of saving us. And so here in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, it's no different. Paul's talking about his witness. He's talking about telling other people about his life and what he did and what his, and he was not ashamed of the gospel. We know that he mentions, he tries to encourage young Timothy and 2 Timothy often that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God into salvation. And he says that Timothy, you know, you need to endure these afflictions and persevere. And so that's what I'm going to challenge you with tonight. If you look at verse 5, for our gospel, Paul says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. And that's the title of my message, not in word only. Okay, that's the title that I gave this message. And I want to share with you a couple of things that I think in this passage of Scripture that are important. And it says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Just in that one verse alone, there's three things that Paul admonishes the readers about. And these folks that he's writing to, this church at Thessalonica, he's writing to them and to show them there's some things that you have to do to be a good witness for Christ. It doesn't come naturally. No one I know is this comes so naturally that it is do it, you know. It's work. The Christian life is work. And so if anybody tries to tell you different, they're telling you wrong. It's not. It's, you know why it's work? Because you live in this flesh. You and I live in the flesh. And I don't know if you looked lately, but you've got a robe of flesh on you that is from this world. It's nature is flesh. And so we need to live in the Spirit. And so Paul is admonishing here. And let me give you a couple things here, and we'll be done. We'll be long. But let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless our time. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here at First Baptist Church. And I pray that you'd bless our time here. Thank you, Lord, for the people that have come out. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. I pray that you would guide my words. I pray that you would help us be attentive. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, be obedient to the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us to live for you, not just at church, but also throughout the week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a very, very important topic. Witnessing is a very important topic. You know, it's, for the missionary, you probably expect to hear something along these lines, but it's good for us all as Christians to hear this. We need to be a good witness. Witnessing is very important. When I think about witnessing, I think about the person that witnessed to me and told me about Christ. And I was 14 years old in 1980, and a lady took the Bible and showed me how I could accept Christ. And I didn't know a whole lot back then. But I did accept Christ on a Thursday night at a vacation Bible school when I was 14 years old, and I've been saved ever since. And I'm very, very thankful for that someone took the opportunity and took the time and the effort to share the gospel with a 14-year-old boy. You know, oftentimes people don't think the young people, young people, bus ministry, all that. But I'm thankful that someone took the opportunity and time to do that. And so I praise the Lord for that. So many years ago, being led to the Christ. And if you think about the scripture, you think about the Bible, there's countless passages in the scriptures that teach us that we are to be witnesses. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, he says, go ye. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you shall be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the world. And so there's commands given for us to go. Jesus said himself in John chapter 17, he says, Father, I send them. As you sent me, so send I them. And so there's countless passages of scriptures in Corinthians. He says, we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ. That we have the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have been given a ministry of reconciliation to help others be reconciled to God. And that is an awesome responsibility. It involves three important parts, okay? Witnessing does. And I want to share those three important parts with you, okay? And so there's nothing new. You probably heard a lot of this stuff before, but it's good that we be remembered, reminded. The scripture talks about being reminded as parents and as people in the faith were to remind and admonish one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. The Bible talks about we're to do that to keep people's heart from being hardened with the hardness of sin. And then here, number one, the first thing is it's important to do it in word. He says not in word only. Not in word only implies that in word is important to Paul. Paul says it's important to witness. It's important to tell other people about Christ. You can't just live the Christian life without talking about the Christian life. You have to tell people about Christ. You have to be able to give them what? The hope that lies within you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies in you. So you and I are supposed to always be ready to give other people the reason for the hope that we have. And so it's a very important thing for you and me to hone and to perfect our testimony. It's a good thing when you have a testimony that you can share with other people. It's a good thing to share that. Now think about your testimony. Think about it. Just go through it in your mind. It's a very important thing to do that. I share my testimony often in Germany with the Germans, and they can tell you, a lot of them know my testimony probably just as good as I do. They know that with the circumstances surrounding my home life and what led up to me finding Christ and what happened after I got saved and how our lives and our home changed after my dad got saved and all the things that how I grew in the Lord because of seeing that in other Christians. And so that's a good thing to have that where you can use that. You can use that to open up the door to witness to other people. It's very important to be able to use your testimony. And so we need to be able to give a reasonable apologetic for what we believe with meekness and fear, the Bible says. We are to study, Scripture says in Timothy, to study. The word study there means to divide, means to make it straight. We should be able to make the gospel straight. It shouldn't be difficult for someone to understand. The gospel shouldn't be different. It's called God's simple plan of salvation. You have gospel tracts. And I often tell people this. It's a simple thing. If you want to give a gospel tract out, you have to have one in your pocket. Because if you don't have one in your pocket, guess what? You won't be able to give it out for sure. I know that sounds elementary, but that's exactly the way it is. If you don't have a gospel tract and the Lord opens the door, then you can't. That's kind of a missed opportunity, right? So it's a good thing to carry gospel tracts with you. You never know when God's going to open the door to talk to someone, and you may not be able to sit there and give them the whole plan of salvation, but you can leave the seed with them. You can plant the seed with them. You can give them an invitation to your church. And so that's a kindness that we can show to other people and that we care for them. And then Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a great example. He's talking here to this church, and he's saying that, hey, it came in not in word only. But think about the Apostle Paul, how he witnessed. In the book of Acts, we see several times that Paul gives what? He gives his personal testimony. He gives it in the synagogue. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16 that he gave his testimony in the synagogue. He told them what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And then in Acts 26, he says to King Agrippa, let me tell you my testimony. And he gives King Agrippa his word for word what happened to him on the road to Damascus from Acts chapter 9. And so not only did we know Paul was a great church planner and a great witnesser, and then also that he was a traveler and he did a lot of things. He started churches, but he also told his personal testimony. He used that as a way to get things rolling.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful idea for us to do that. So we see not only do we see that in word only, but secondly, in power. And here's something that speaks volumes to the Christian. Look, if you would, there again in verse number 5 with me. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." You know, the Bible says that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. You shall be witnesses. And so each one of us, each person in this building tonight that knows Christ as their Savior, each person has the power to witness. That's a powerful thing when you think about it. Paul says it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is. It's what brings people to Christ, is that opportunity to share the gospel. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. Look, if you will, in Ephesians with me just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. See, the Holy Spirit can be grieved, and he can be quenched. And that word grieved there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 means disappointed. The Holy Spirit can be disappointed. Even though the Holy Spirit lives in you, you can quench him and grieve him and keep the power from being real, actuated in your life and be used. He says in verse number 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Isn't that a blessing to know that you're sealed? The Holy Spirit is God's way of saying, you're mine. The earnest money has been paid down. The deposit's been made. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, and gives you the opportunity to know that you're never going to lose your salvation. Isn't that a blessing to know that? And you can know you're saved, and you can know that you're never going to lose it. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? Not. And then he says, and then he goes on to say here in verse 31 and 32, how a person can grieve the Holy Spirit. "But all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You see, when we allow these things to harbor these things in our life and be a part of these things, he tells us another part of the scripture, that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but everything that you say, let it be grace to the hearer. Let it be admonishing the hearer. Let it be something to bless those that listen. And so this is a challenge. I understand. This is not easy always to keep ourselves in this position, that the Holy Spirit can work through us and we can be used of him. But he says that here, that Paul says, we came to you in power and in the Holy Ghost. And so we know that that's a very important part of our witnessing. And then, if you will, look one more time at 1 Thessalonians number 3, the third thing Paul mentions. Paul mentions not in word. So the word is very important, that we witness with the word of God. The word of God is what brings faith. Romans 10:17. It talks about the faith that man gets through the word of God. And so that's why it's so important to witness in word, okay? And then that's how people have faith in what they listen to. And then number 2, witnessing in the power of the Holy Spirit there. And then in number 3, "And in much assurance," he says, latter part of the verse, "and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Number 3, you probably can guess what it's going to be. Number 3 is in manner of life. Your walk. You see, not only do you and I witness and we ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and help us with our power and power of witnessing, but you and I are to walk what we talk. We're to live our Christian life. Just like we hear here in the church, and we know what's right, and we see what's right, and we hear the pastor preach it, and we know we can say, man, there it is in black and white. It's there. And then when we walk out these doors, that's what really matters. Okay? So when you're in a church, it's easy to be amongst believers. There's no persecution in the church. There's no suffering of afflictions here in this building. But when we walk outside the door, the Bible talks about Christ was what he was crucified outside the gate. outside of the comfort zone, outside of the church, so to speak. And that's where we are be crucified, is out there. If we're going to carry the cross of Christ, like he tells us to, if you're going to follow him daily and pick up your cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him, that's where it happens at, outside those doors. And so that's what Paul's talking about, my manner of life. Paul says, how I walked among you, it was how the gospel came to you. Isn't that amazing? Not only did the gospel come through word and through power, but it also came through his manner of life. So listen, you know, I know you've heard this story before, lifestyle evangelism. And for a long time, people said, oh, man, lifestyle evangelism. But really, it gets a bad rap because it is lifestyle evangelism is part of witnessing. It's part of it. You can't leave one without the other, though. You can't have lifestyle evangelism by telling people. And so in our church in Germany, we have probably, I don't know, several people would stand up and tell you that they got saved because they watched other people. And how important that is. And let me say something to you, and you probably have heard this before, but people are watching you. Everywhere you go, someone's watching you. Especially since you're a Christian. You say you're a Christian, and they're watching you, if nothing else, to just discount you and say, ha-ha, you know. And so we have the same thing. Germans watch us constantly. It's kind of a joke in Germany there's a joke runs around. So when you know it's Germany, when you see a picture and you see somebody sticking their head out the window watching you. And that's how the Germans are, though. The Germans don't need cameras. They got the neighbors watch you. And it's true because, you know, you look around and you can always feel some eyeballs on you, you know, when you're outside. But, you know, that's okay. If you're living right, you don't worry about that. You know, matter of fact, one of the ladies in our church, she says, even today when she gets a chance to testify, she says, there's a family in this church that she said that I watched and watched and watched. And she said, that's the main reason I got saved. Because she watched this family and she said, they were real. You know, there was not just another family that had religion. They were real. They were not just real in church, but they were real throughout the week. She watched that family as they lived their life. And they didn't even know she was watching them. But she accepted Christ because that was a big reason why she got saved. She knew that there was something different in their lives that she wanted. And so I'm trying to encourage you that somebody's watching you. A friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor. Somebody's watching you. And so we want to make sure that you live your Christian life. We are to glorify the Lord. The best way to glorify Christ is to win people to Christ. That is that we believe upon his name, Christ said. That's the works of God, is to believe upon Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. And the book, and here the scriptures. Look, if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're right there. Look at verse 8 and 9. Paul mentions in verse 8 and 9 a little more detailed about this walk. Look what he says. And far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Oh, what a wonderful testimony to have. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And then verse number 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul says all these things were evidences of salvation. They turned to what? From idols to a living God. To serve a living God, by the way. And so that's what our life should be. It should be a life characterized by these Christian traits. They should be traits that people say, oh, this person is turned from idols, turned from who they once were, and now serving a living God. Like not a dead God, but a living God. The book of Romans tells us in chapter 12 that you and I are to be what? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You know what that means? That means that you're supposed to give up your will and to fulfill the Lord's will. To be really simply obedient to him. And so I would like to challenge you as we look at these passages of scriptures to be a witness for him. Be a witness for him in word and in power and in your manner of life. How important it is to do that. Look, if you will, with me, one more verse in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. You know, oftentimes it's an opportunity for us to understand that we should be thankful for what God's done in our lives. And and also understand that our faith should be shown in what we do, how we live. James says that faith without works is dead. And so it's dead faith if we don't do something with what God's given us. And God's given us something so wonderful. He's given us the ability to witness to other people, given us the power to witness to other people. And I think about how easy it is, how easy it is to explain what faith is, what repentance is. And here in Acts chapter number 20, look at verse 21 with me. Acts 20, 21. The Bible says, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, what? Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. If you want to explain salvation to anyone, that's a wonderful verse to explain salvation. It's repentance towards God. Basically saying that you have that your and my paths before God was wrong. Our ideas about our righteousness, our ideas of who we were, our position was wrong. And that realized that we needed to repent and have faith towards Jesus Christ to save us. And so that's what salvation is repentance and faith. And so I don't know if there's someone here tonight that does not know Christ as their Savior. I can say to you, if you're here and you do not know 100% sure, if you was to die today, that you'd have heaven, your home, you could make that assurance in a split second. It's really, really easy to do. Like I said before, I remember doing it as a 14-year-old boy, and I've been very thankful since then. Not always have lived the Christian life like I should have, but I guess we all could have to testify to that. Once a person's saved, we're not perfect. We're not glorified yet. We're still living out in the flesh, and we still have to deal with sin. That's the reason we had the spiritual cleansing seminar. We were talking about that in Germany with the Germans. That is so important daily to search our hearts and see where we stand with the Lord. But as a lost person, if you're here lost, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can ask Him today, tonight. It's that simple. And so I'd like to say, if there's someone here that does not know Him as your Savior, tonight would be the wonderful opportunity to get saved, is ask Christ to save you. Because I'm telling you, we don't know when eternity will start. No one knows how long they have on this earth. We don't know how long we'll live. I've known a lot of teenagers to die and to go out early, and they've had no idea they were going to die that early. And people all the time, things are happening to people, and you never know. And so it's very important to make 100% sure that you know for sure you have a home in heaven. And so I'd like to ask everyone, if you would please stand, head bowed, eyes closed. I'll have just a moment of invitation. And I'd like to ask you to think about a few things tonight as we close. These are some very important things. And just give a few moments to consider what we've said. I'd like for you as a Christian here, if you're saved and a Christian, you know you're saved, think about, are you witnessing for Christ? Are you taking the opportunities that God gives you? Let me say, if you and I as Christians, if we all would witness, I can't imagine what God would be able to do through something like that. If we would all take some gospel tracts, if we would all decide and determine we're going to tell somebody about Christ this week, what a tremendous thing that would be in our community and in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family. And then maybe you're here and you say, well, I haven't been doing that. Well, what an opportunity time. Rededicate yourself to that and say, Lord, I'm gonna witness. I'm gonna carry some tracts. I'm gonna perfect my testimony, and I'm gonna tell other people about Christ. And I'm gonna do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, because I'm gonna make sure that I'm not quenching the Spirit in my life. And then not only that, once you tell people, you have to walk the walk. You have to be able to tell people. When you tell people that you can't seem like you are not genuine, that is fake. You have to live it. And so it's very, very important. And then maybe there's someone here that don't know Christ as your Savior. You never asked Jesus Christ to save you. You don't know 100% sure that heaven's your home. Let me challenge you tonight to come forward, and somebody will pray with you. Somebody will show you some scripture and show you how you can accept Christ as your Savior. Let's have a word of prayer, then we're going to sing a song. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity tonight to be here. I pray, Lord, that you would bless in the invitation time. I ask, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know that Christ is their Savior, does not know if they was to die today, where they would go. Lord, that's a daunting thought, and we all should have to deal with that. And Lord, if we don't know that 100% sure, I pray, Father, that you would convict hearts of that, and that, Lord, that soul would make that 100% sure before they leave this building. It's not any programs or any rules or any things they have to go through, any courses. It's just repentance and faith. And I ask, Lord, that you would work on hearts concerning that. And Father, I ask you if there be other folks here, Christians here, Lord, that haven't been witnessing, that haven't been taking this thing seriously, Lord, that we don't have much time, and Lord, we need to redeem the time. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us we're to redeem the time that you've given. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight